I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now my eyes are open and I see that it was grace that set my spirit free. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. And it was grace that brought me home. I'll never know just why he ever came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that bought my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault. He looked beyond my fault. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner, for that song, and thank you for participating in the song service. You know, singing congregational music helps to encourage our spirit. By the way, it's part of the worship experience when you come to church. It's your part of participating in the overall worship service every time that you come to church. You say, preacher, you know, we come and we listen to teaching and preaching, and we want to have a part. Well, your part is to get involved in the singing, amening, enjoying the ministry of music, fellowshipping. That's your part as far as getting involved in what's going on in our worship time this morning. Take your Bible, if you would, and find your place in 2 Kings chapter number 22. 2 Kings chapter number 22. You know, the Word of God has so many wonderful truths in it, and you know, the Scripture tells us that the prophets of old, the Old Testament scriptures are given to us for our learning, so there's a lot that we can learn. We also find that when we go to the Old Testament, we can also find things that pattern a lot of what's happening in our society today. And I want to pull one of those excerpts from what was happening in Judah at this time. As you know, that many of the previous kings, much of the land at this time had been paganized. So much of the land had gotten away from the things of God. And one young man showed up on the scene that decided, you know what, I'm going to change the way things are. I'm going to go ahead and change. I'm going to make a stand for God, and I'm going to change the way things are and what's happening today. And this young man's name was Josiah. Would you stand with me, please, if you would? And I want you to notice here, it says Josiah was 8 years old. Eight. It's quite young. But yet, you know, he had the power and he had the authority to make some decisions about what was going on. It says he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosketh. And he said, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Listen, he didn't get swayed one way or the other. He walked the straight and narrow way. He walked in the ways of David and the ways of the Lord. Well, it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord." And I want you to notice this, to repair the breaches of the house. Listen, the morale, the national morale was so low at this time in the history of the people of God because of so many things that were allowed to go on while people turned their head the other way and refused to address issues that were facing the country at this time. And if you'll notice, the house of the Lord began to fall apart and become deteriorated. Now, he says, verse 6, "...under the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hew stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully." Now, I want you to notice verse number 8. "...and Hilkiah..." The high priest. Now that would be somewhat, just to kind of give you some idea of kind of the position Hilkiah was in as the high priest over the house of God. It would be kind of like the preacher. Okay, so it says, "Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe," and I want you to know this, he said, "I have found the book of the law in the house, Lord." First of all, what are you having to do looking for it? That's how far things had digressed in the country now, to where even the preacher had to dust off the book. It said, "I found the book." Where did he find it? Guess where it got lost? Got lost in the church. Come on now, got lost in the church. It got lost in the house of God. He said, "I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Boy, that's an innovative idea, reading the Bible. "And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, 'Thy servants have gathered thy money,'" or the money that was found in the house of the Lord, "'and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord.' And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book.'" Now wait a minute, Shaphan read it, and then notice it says, "And Shaphan read it before the king." So now the scribe read it, now he read it to the king. "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king's, saying, 'Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the word of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us.'" Now here's the scenario real quick. The country had digressed. When you read the previous chapters, listen, Josiah had wrapped it all up in a nutshell. He said, "You know what? We're inheriting some problems because our forefathers didn't observe and didn't practice the Word of God." And he said, "So what's happening is now we're inheriting some of the problems they created." Now, folks, listen to me. Everybody with me this morning? All right, everybody looking right up here. We're in 2011. You know what? We're inheriting some of the problems of our forefathers. That's the reason that America is in the condition that it's in. That's the reason some of the people of God's in the condition it's in. Listen to me. That's the reason the Church of the Living God is in the condition it's in, because we're inheriting some of the neglect of the Word of God from our forefathers. Now, we can either just turn our head and continue, or we can change it. We can either look the other way and let it continue to digress, the house of God fall apart, and morality fall apart, or we can do something about it. The thing about it is, the Word of God hadn't been pulled out, and you know where? It was lost among the people of God. It was the people of God that had set this truth aside. And now the truth was no longer being propagated in the streets, and then the country and all the surrounding areas had basically gone into paganism. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, when the truth is no longer the truth. When the truth is no longer the truth. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you today that when you stand up and preach what I'm going to preach on, people say, where is that found? It's in the Bible. And you can preach the truth, and we live in a day and time where a lot of people ain't going to accept the truth. They've made up their mind that the truth is no longer the truth. Father, would you bless our time together this morning and open our heart and our spirit about what you would have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. May I say by introduction that the condition of Judah and its people at this particular time was in terrible condition. Their shape was in bad. They were in bad shape. And listen, not only as a national country, but also in their relationship with God. They had deteriorated nationally, they had deteriorated socially, they had deteriorated spiritually, and they were in such a terrible condition in the country that it was going to take somebody to stand up and make a difference. National leadership, before Josiah, had become weak, no longer recognized. Listen to me, no longer recognizing their nation or the people of God as followers of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Huh? How dare somebody call and say, you know what, America is no longer a Christian nation. Pooey! You say, where'd that come from? Hey, listen, it was going on a long time before 2011. You see, what was happening in this situation is that the places of worship had been neglected by the priests, and the people no longer showed any interest in worship or even attendance, much less service, because even the house of God had begun to deteriorate. At this time, the temple of the Lord had been neglected, and its upkeep obviously appeared to people to have become in shambles. It needed to be repaired, and it took somebody to stand up and say, listen, we need to get the house of God repaired and back in working order. You see, now it seemed that Jehovah God was no longer a priority in the lives of the people. And may I say to you this morning that this attitude and spirit had been cultivated, listen to me now, by weak leadership and weak spiritual leadership that had trickled down to the people of Judah. And let me tell you something, folks. For those of you that are new, let me just say it again. For those of you that have been around a while, you've heard it 1,000 times. Everything rises and falls on leadership. The condition of Judah was because of weak leadership and weak kings of the past. And now Josiah and the people had inherited now an absolute mess. I want to say that leadership began to allow things to be practiced that had never been acceptable before. You say, like what, preacher? Well, I want you to take a look, if you would, in 2 Kings 22 and verse number 17. It says, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods. Stop. What had happened in this day is weak leadership, listen to me, everybody listen to me now, had allowed multicultural worship to go on. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means letting people that aren't Christians come in and set up their temples and serve their gods, and try to shove down their religion down our throat. Hey, listen, I already got a God, and I already got a Bible. I don't need another one. come into our country and tell me I'm going to be something, you're full of, you're out of your mind. But you know what happened? That's what happened in Judah. Their leaders had allowed this kind of multicultural worship to come in. You say, preacher, we're supposed to love everybody. Well, may I say to you that I do love everybody and I want everybody to be saved, but I also want to tell you that not everybody's going to be saved because they don't want to be. But what happened is our country is in such a situation today, just like Judah was. Look in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 12. It says, and the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made. Stop. Who set up these altars? Come on now. Who set them up? Leadership did. Political leadership set this up. And notice what it said. It said, and the kings of Judah had made, and the kings of Judah made, and the altars which Manasseh, another weak leader, had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. You say, well, who are these guys? Well, you may not know them, but you're going to know this next guy. Look in verse 13. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built unto Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. You know that guy? You see, the thing about it, Solomon was the wisest man in the world, but he died in a minuscule relationship with God. He died having allowed heathenism and paganism to come into his land. Oh, by the way, and he helped finance the building of these false temples. Come on now. You say, man, preach, this kind of sounds like America. You got it. Why do you think we're in the condition that we're in? We're letting all these people just come in because under the guidelines of freedom. Come on in here. Under the guidelines of freedom, go ahead. Do what you want. Kill who you want. Come on now. You say, why are you talking? Because, listen, the thing about it is, right down the road, 1 week from today, was 9-1-1. If that don't stir you up, you know, let me tell you something. You know why the reason all this kind of stuff is happening? It's because we're allowing the temples of Ashtaroth to be built among the people of God. That's what happened to Judah. They were in a mess. We're doing it all under the guidelines. Come on into America. It's a free country. You can do what you want. Thing about it is we're letting these outsiders come in and build these pagan temples, worship their pagan gods, and then what happened is in some places America's financing it. You say, preach, I thought I was coming to church to hear about Jesus. We are here in just a minute. I'm just telling you when the truth is no longer the truth, folks. How about open immoral practices? Look in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 7. Josiah not only began to pull down and tear down the temples of these false gods, but what had happened is their forefathers had neglected to instruct any type of moral code or moral law, and they just turned their head the other way to immoral practices. And verse 7, and he brake down the houses of the Sodomites. Come on now. That's called immorality, folks. And they had allowed it. They just turned their head the other way. And they allowed immorality to just have its course, and look what condition they're in. Hey, folks, you say, preacher, what condition's America in? You tell me. You say, what's some of the problem? Well, first of all, we've let these pagans come in and build their temples and serve their gods. And they're setting up the high places on every corner. And then what's happened in America, we've turned our head to immorality. And Josiah said, no more. No more. He began to tear the temples down and he tore the houses down of the Sodomites. In other words, he began to point out the sins of immorality. Then, Let me tell you what else was going on in the country. Anti-God and pro-Satan demonstrations. Y'all know they were demonstrating? Look in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. You know what was going on in Judah? Everybody thought they had the right to do whatever they wanted to. So they began to worship the devil. And they begin to cast familiar spirits, and wizards begin to operate on the streets, and they begin to set up images and idols for people to worship. Multicultural worship, open immoral practices, anti-God and pro-Satan demonstrations. Can I also say that there was also engulfed in this, even among the churches, casual and inclusive worship of Jehovah God. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means you don't have to change anything about your lifestyle. You just come right on in. Just come right on in with your heathenistic practices. Come right on in and do whatever you want to, and we'll welcome you right on in. You can sit right there on the church pew and say amen. That's exact. Listen, you say, where is that? Let me show it to you. Go to 2 Kings chapter 23. Look at verse number 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple. Listen to this now. Out of the temple. That's the house of God. What had made its way into the house of God? It said all the vessels that were made for Baal. They had incorporated and got this idea of all-inclusive worship. Just come right in. We'll set your vessels and your idols right next to Jesus. We'll come on in. We'll listen. We'll use whatever Bible you want right along with ours. Amen. You know what that causes, folks? That causes confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Can you imagine somebody going in the temple of worship at this time and there were idols and vessels of Baal set up and they're like, well, who are you here to worship today? Well, I wanted to worship Jehovah God. He's over in the corner. Listen to me, folks. The truth had been lost in the house of God. And I'm telling you that the truth had no longer become the truth any longer. Because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, the combination of all these practices in the land of Judah had led leadership, laymen, listen to me, and the church to distance themselves from the Word of God, to eventually find themselves lost to the truth. You'd be amazed at how many people, and I talk to a lot of people during the week, you'd be amazed at how many people I run into in a week's time that I begin to talk to them, and I will begin to quote them Scripture, and you know what? They'll say, well, that's not right. Well, that's not right. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's not right. I just quoted you a scripture from the Bible. Well, that's not right. You see, they don't even know what the truth is. So in their mind, the truth is no longer the truth. What happens is now it's morality, it's the way that we live based on our definition. We got to get back to the Word of God. Truth has become foreign to most people today. Holiness and righteousness has become unknown to the homes of America and to America's children today. Judah and its people have been slowly, over time, robbed of their knowledge of God and His will and way for their life. The nation had been dumbed down spiritually to the place that anything and everything was now acceptable and you just do whatever's right in your own eyes. The conclusion, listen now, of this national dilemma was Josiah had marked it. He had traced it back to the fathers that didn't hearken to the words of the book. Now, folks, listen. You say, well, preacher, if we're in the day and time, if we're reaping the mistakes of our forefathers because they didn't obey the book, then why are we even trying? Because you can salvage America for your grandkids. Amen. You say, we can't do anything right now, preacher. You know what? But you can do something for your grandkids and your great-grandkids and the generations to follow. Hey, let me say something to you. Do you know what? Josiah didn't look at the situation and say, you know what? It's hopeless. So you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and become a pagan like everybody else. No, he didn't. He started this process when he was 8, made some major decisions when he was 18 and into his 20s. You see, the situation was very evident. The land had gotten away from God. The land now was beginning to worship false gods and false idols. Well, how many of you watch the news or read the newspapers and stuff? But you know what? I'm sick and tired of people in this country coming here and holding their anti-American signs up. Amen. And anti-Christian signs up. Say, preacher, you stirred up? You better believe I'm stirred up. Because you know what? I've read the book, and America's headed exactly in this direction. We are here, my friend. You say, what are we going to do about it, preacher? We're going to do the same thing. It's if God's going to send revival, we're going to do the same thing Judah did. You say, what did they do? Well, first of all the people were exposed to God's Word. I said, all the people were exposed to God's Word. Look at 2 Kings chapter 22. Look at 2 Kings chapter 22. Look at verse number 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. He read it himself. Then the king read it. Look at 2 Kings 23, verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. You know what he did? He said, I want every preacher here. He said, I want you to go out. I want you to find all the religious guys. And I want all the preachers here. Because they're going to hear it too. You know who needs a good old dose of the Holy Ghost more than anybody? The preachers of America. That's who need a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. Sounds like everybody showed up. I said, it sounds like everybody showed up. You know why? Because the king said, I want everybody here. Everybody. You say, what would this be like, preacher? It would be like the president of the United States saying, listen, everybody in front of your TV, I got an important announcement tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's important. It has to do with the survival of America. And if you don't listen to me, you're going to wish you had. And so everybody's gathered around their TV sets tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And it would be like the most powerful individual on planet Earth, the President of the United States, opening up his Bible and say, folks, we've got to get back to the Word of God. And begin to read Scripture to all Americans. He gathered them all together, and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. Listen now. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. I said he read them all, not just those that were conducive to his lifestyle. Not just the words of God that were conducive to the way that he wanted to do things. He read them to all of the people. You see, all the people were exposed to the Word of God. Say, preacher, how are we going to avoid the pitfall of America collapsing? Listen, all the people are going to have to get back and exposed to the Word of God. We're going to have to get back to reading God's Word again. We're going to have to read the book again. Hey, I remember, and it hasn't been that long ago, when I was probably, the last time they did this was probably when I was a freshman or sophomore in high school. The principal would come on the intercom. Everybody would stand. This is America. Okay, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about this happened in America. Everybody would stand. The principal would read a scripture verse in public school. And would read a scripture verse and then say, let's bow our heads in prayer. And when he got finished praying, he didn't say, in Allah's name. He said, in the sweet name of Jesus. You say, come on, preacher, you're talking about America? I'm talking about America, and I'm talking about 32 years ago. That ain't a whole long time. That happened in America. 32 years ago. Prayed, read the scripture. But of course, we got sophisticated then. We didn't need that no more. So what happened is, society eliminated. Because, by the way, we might offend somebody. Well, we weren't concerned about it 50 years ago. You know why? Because we weren't letting all these heathens and pagans build their temples 50 years ago. Amen! You say, well, preacher, we're just going to have to accept that this is the society we live in. Well, listen, it may be the society we live in, but I don't have to accept it. So I thought I was coming to a sweet church this morning. Hey, listen, folks, I'm just telling you, we live in a day where the truth is no longer the truth. We are told as conservative Christians that we don't know what we're talking about, and yet I'm reading straight from the book. What's happening is we've got to get back to the reading of God's Word for our own spiritual value, for family devotions. We've got to get back to the Word of God. Wonder how many families in this building today have even picked up your Bible and read one word of it before you even came to church today. No wonder, folks, we're in this condition that we are. Listen, you say, well, you know what? If I came up here today and I was absolute, and I just come up and said, folks, listen, I really wasn't able to read my Bible this week. Really don't have a whole lot to say. Anybody got any good word for God? You know what you'd say? You know what? That ain't no preacher. He's supposed to preach. He's supposed to read his book. What can I say to you? I'm not commanded to read the Bible because I'm a preacher. I'm commanded because I'm a Christian. All believers ought to stay in the book. I do it for my spiritual value. We've got to get back to reading the book. May I say to you, number two, we've got to get back to believing the book. Now, folks, listen to me. I know some of you that are visiting here, this is a shockwave, but it's all right. All right? We'll be okay. Do you know I hold in my hand the Word of God in the King James Bible in the English language? Wait a minute. Let me go a step further. Do you know I'm holding in my hand the preserved, inspired, inerrant words of a holy God in my hand right there? You say, preacher, do you really believe it? With every ounce of energy in me, I believe it. If I didn't, I wouldn't even be here. I not only read the Word of God, I believe the Word of God. I believe it. I believe I've actually got a copy of the Word of God in my hand for us in the English world. That I actually have the words of God that were given to us today. And that this book is just as current today as it was the day that it was given. Why? Because, listen, we serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. He's current. I got a current book. You see, all the people were exposed to the Word of God. Listen, we got to get back to reading it. We got to get back to believing. Wait a minute, listen up. We got to get back to practicing it. We can read it, we can believe it, but faith without works is dead. We got to get back to practicing the book. Hey, we've got to get back to loving the Lord like He is deserves to be loved. He needs to be preeminent in our lives. May I say, we need to be a witness. I said we need to be a witness. You know, I'm convinced the reason that America's in the shape that it is, and we got so many of these heathens and pagans that have infiltrated our country, is because most of the people of God have closed their mouth. Amen. We've shut up when it comes to the truth of God. And you know what? We've been overrun, brother. Absolutely overrun. Now you say, preacher, what's going to happen? I don't know, but if the people of God don't stand up, we're going to find out real soon. We're going to find out real soon. And you know what we're going to find out, brothers and sisters in the Lord? We're going to find out who is on the Lord's side. Because where we're headed with this thing is to an absolute division here. Right and wrong. That's where it's boiling down to. We're heading and funneling down that course. You say, preacher, you going to stand up? I'm going to stand up as long as I got two legs, and if they whack them off, I'm going to stand up on my nubs. Say, what if they cut your tongue out? Then I'll just sign. They cut my hands off, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll figure something out. They can't, listen, they can't control what goes up in the old noggin, though. I'm just saying to you today, listen, we've got to get back to reading the Word of God. We've got to get back to believing the Word of God. We've got to get back to practicing the Word of God. I wonder how many believers in this room today, when is the last time you've even witnessed for Jesus Christ? When's the last time you've ever led somebody to Christ? Open your Bible and show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. When's the last time we've brought somebody to church? I'm just saying to you that we've got to get back to practicing. We've got to support the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to attend it. We've got to give to it financially. We've got to help propagate the gospel around the world. Well, let me say, all the people who were exposed to the Word of God. Next, all the people purged their land and their lives. Did you notice there that when we read in Scripture that Josiah began to tear down the high places? He began to tear them down, and in some cases the Scripture said he even burnt them, and in some places it said he even pounded them into powder. Got rid of them. You see, all the people were exposed to the Word of God. If we don't get back to the Word of God, our country is going to head down a path that we're going to regret. And listen, your grandkids and great-grandkids are going to pay a huge price. But we can do something about it. Josiah did. Josiah made a difference. You know what we can do today in 2011? We can make a difference for our family. All the people purged their land and their lives. That word purge just means they purified by separating themselves from whatever was impure. To clear the moral defilement. You say, what did they do, preacher? Well, first of all, they stood against heresy publicly. I said they stood against heresy. You say, what's heresy, preacher? That's the error of the fundamental doctrines of the Scripture. When you go check me out, since we don't have time to read the two or three more chapters, you know what Josiah did? He said, listen, I want you to go to the house of God. I want you to pull them false teachers out of there. I said they went into the house of God and pulled the false teachers out of there. We're going to have to stand up against heresy. Like what heresy are you talking about, preacher? Like, listen to me now. Did you know that those of you, listen, you may be visiting today, but you know you have a book in your hand that teaches that we not only serve a great God, but we serve a God that once He saves, you're always saved? And did you know that we serve a God that once you're saved, you're always saved? That He still operates today in 2011 with the same power that He operated in Josiah's day? And did you know that God was pleased with what Josiah did? See, we're so afraid about what people are going to think. We're so afraid that if we stand up, we may not be socially accepted. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus was socially accepted. Matter of fact, He was a social outcast. You say, why, preacher? Because He spoke the truth. You see, all the people purged their land and their lives. They stood up against heresy publicly. They stood up against errors of false teachers, and they confronted them about their false teaching. You say, preacher, are we supposed to go on a crusade? Of course not. But you know what we are supposed to do? We are supposed to stand up for the book. We are supposed to stand up for the Word. We are supposed to stand up for the doctrines of this book that Jesus taught. And when somebody says, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord didn't say, you can always say, if you know the book, you can say, no, the Lord didn't say that. They stood up against heresy publicly. Next, they refused to conform to the common practices of their day. He said, well, preacher, it's just the way things are today. Listen to me, I'll say it again. It may be, but you don't have to accept it. And neither did Josiah. Josiah began to tear things down, began to run out the false prophets. He began to boldly and publicly stand against heresy. They refused to conform to the common practices of their day. They did not accept immoral practices as an alternative lifestyle. Amen. Oh, by the way, and I don't find anywhere where Josiah said these people were born this way either. They chose it. And see, we're so afraid today that if we say something that the Scripture says, thus saith the Lord, we're so afraid that some little podunk group is going to stand up and say, well, You can't say that. Well, certainly I can. It's in the Bible. See, isn't it amazing how that pagans and heathens and backsliders have the right to say what they want to say, but us believers don't? You notice how adamant they get about us shutting our mouth, but they don't have any problem opening theirs. You see, that's why we're in the condition we're in, is because we've allowed them to open their mouth for so long. And what's happened is now they've pretty much laid the law down. They've set the city ordinances. They've set all of these things and tied the hands of the people of God. Amen. They refused to conform to the common practices of the day. They rededicated themselves to the Lord. Look, if you would, in 2 Kings chapter 23. And verse number 3, 2 Kings 23:3. After the book was read, after everybody was exposed to the Word of God, after everybody began to purge the land and purge the impurities out of their own life, the Bible says, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. Stop. It was the king started with himself first. Leadership started and says, you know what, folks? We've allowed this to go too long. And starting with me, I'm dedicating myself to walk with Jesus today. I'm dedicating myself to walk with the Lord today. Wonder how many of the pagans attacked him. He says to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They said, you know what? Amen. And you know what I think some of them thought? I think some of them stood up and said, you know what? Glory to God, it's about time some leadership stood up against this mess that we're going through. It's about time somebody stood up and tore down the high places. It's about time that somebody stood up and says, Baal will have no temples in this land. Amen. Now, they rededicated themselves to the Lord. They rededicated themselves to walk after the Lord. They rededicated themselves to keep His commandments. Oh, by the way, it seems like I read in John chapter 14, verse number 5, where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my... If you love me. Big word, that little word, if. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then what they began to do was perform the words of the Lord. Well, here's the last thing. All the people not only were exposed to the Word of God, all the people purged the land and their lives, but listen, all the people promoted restoration and salvation. They began to promote restoration and salvation. And folks, listen, they began to stand up. Listen, did you notice it says, and to keep His commandments? As a child of God, one of the commands that we're given is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. One of the commands that we're given is tell people about Christ. So they kept the commands. Not only that, they kept the testimonies of the Lord. Say, what is that, preacher? Well, they begin to say, you know what? Man, this is good, isn't it? Man, we're cleaning this mess up. God's starting to move again. Amen. Folks, listen to me. You say, man, preacher, I'm just so tired of a dead church. Well, you know what? The reason it may be dead is because the power of God's not moving, because people ain't purged their lives. Could be that might be some Baal worship still going on. Could be that we haven't cleaned our lives up so the Holy Ghost of God can begin to move again. Say, people, or preacher, it's all this kind of stuff. I told you, I'm stirred up about this. I'm concerned about the condition of our nation. I'm concerned about the condition of the people of God and the church of the living God. All the people begin to promote restoration and salvation. They begin to keep the statutes. That just simply is, they begin to look at the Word of God, they heard it read, and they said, you know what, we need to change our lifestyle. We need to change the way we're living, because the testimony of the Lord is important. They begin to promote restoration and salvation. You see, when the truth is no longer the truth. You can walk around like many of us do and knock on the door in America and ask them, do you know for sure if you died you'd go to heaven? They're like, what does that mean? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? What does that mean? I'm talking about in America, folks. And it's becoming more and more common to talk to people. And I said, listen, has anybody ever opened the Bible and showed you how to accept the Lord? Never. Ever. I met a guy not too long ago, several months ago, that had never even been in a church. He was born and raised in America. Never even been in a church. Much less read the Bible. Much less somebody even... Listen, when I began to try to witness to him, folks, he didn't even understand the easiest portions of Scripture. I thought, man, this is far worse than I thought. I said, listen, there was no way I was going to be able to win this guy to Christ in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or even an hour. I had to go back. Listen to me, folks. I had to take him all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Why? He knew nothing of the Scripture. Born in America. Born in America. But you know what? Got too much leadership all over this country trying to propagate false teachings. Listen, they're more willing for your kids to learn about pagan gods than they are Christianity. Amen, preacher. No wonder America is in the condition. No wonder that people are dying and going to hell without Christ left and right. Why? Because we live in a land where truth is no longer the truth. The Word of God has no longer become important. And it even doesn't seem to be important to even some of the people of God any longer. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around. This is a very important time. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved? I know it, no question about it. You slip your hand way up high. Say, I'm a born-again believer? No question about it. Slip your hand way up high. God bless you. All right, you can put your hands down. Father, my desire and prayer for these dear people. I know, Lord, sometimes that I can, you know, be forward, and I understand that the truth many times, Lord, is very difficult to assimilate and swallow sometimes. But truth is truth. And unfortunately, Lord, we're living in America today and so much around the world where the Word of God has no longer become the truth to many. And now men are doing that which is right in their own eyes. And so I ask you this morning in the name of Jesus, please, would you have your way in this invitation time? Would you convict where conviction needs to be, and would you move where you need to move in the hearts and lives? And Lord, let us examine our heart and our soul today about where we are. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many would say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I'm saved. I want to be. I know it's the right thing to do, and I want to be saved. I want to, when I die, preach, I want to go to heaven, but I cannot honestly say that if that happened to me, that I'd go to heaven. I have some doubt about it. And you would be honest this morning in church and let me pray for you. How many say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I'm saved. Can I honestly say that I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, but I want to be. No one's looking but me. How many would let me pray for you? Why don't you slip your hand up high? Say, that's me. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I'm saved. Can I honestly say that I know Jesus Christ, but I want to be, preacher? Anybody like that, just slip your hand way up high and let me pray for you. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure. God bless you, and God bless you. You can put your hands down. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure that if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I want to go. I've got some doubt about it. How many say, preacher, that's me? Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else would join these two? Then I wonder if there might be some here this morning that would say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. That's me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Anybody like that? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody will join this one. Say, preacher, already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I need to obey God in that area. Slip your hand way up high. Anybody else will join this one. All right? God bless you. How many would be honest before God this morning and say, preacher, there's some things in my life I need to purge out? Say, preacher, it may be that my home is in the condition that it's in today because I haven't purged some things in my life. It may be, preacher, that the condition that my Sunday school class or my bus ride or whatever ministry that maybe it's not growing like you want, maybe because you haven't purged some things out of your life. Say, preacher, I need to purge some things in my life. Would you pray for me? I need to address these matters. How many would say, preacher, pray for me? Just slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer this morning is simply that you'd have your will and way in this invitation time. Please, these folks that's raised their hand, please don't let them leave today without knowing Jesus. Please don't let them leave today. And Lord, they came to church to do business for God. Please don't let them leave without doing business for God this morning. Those, Lord, that are in turmoil, those that may be going through some difficulties in their life, Lord God, would you please bless them and help them to make the right decision, to step out, step forward this morning to do right for Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, revive America. Oh, Lord God, help the leadership of our country. Help the leadership around the world. Help the people around the world. Father, we live in a day, unfortunately, where truth, your word, is no longer truth anymore. People have diluted it down with 150, 160 different versions. Most people don't even know what the Word of God or even if they have the Word of God anymore. But Lord, you've given us the Word of God in our hand this morning. And I just ask you, Lord God, that we, as the people of God did in Josiah's day, that we would stand in favor of the covenant and do right and live right. Save souls, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play. Brother Shaddix, would you begin to sing? Whatever your need is, would you come? Oh, hey, folks, our nation is in a condition today as we go forward. We're going to need some of the people of God to be willing to come and take a stand for the Lord. Some need to purge themselves. Our land needs to be purged.
And life more abundant.
You see, the reason the altars aren't filled this morning is because too many of you are worried about what somebody's going to think about you. Well, preacher, if I come to the altar, somebody will think I'm doing something wrong. Well, what does God think? When is that going to come into play? By what God thinks about when we come and kneel before the altar of God this morning. You see, we've got to get out of our mind that, you know what?
In the light of
we got to get out of our mind that it's more important than what so-and-so thinks than what